nothing without you holding me up. Now I'm strong enough for both of us. Both of us, both of us, both of us. I am a giant. Stand up on my shoulders. Tell me what you see. Cause I am a giant. We'll be breaking borders underneath our feet.
Welcome to the Philosophy Symposium podcast. On this episode, we continue our conversation with Dr. Tim Linkletter about his chiropractic paper, The Chiropractic Objective. So I'm going to handball it back over to Tim.
Tim, you wrote your paper on the chiropractic objective. So I really want to get you to expand on that. What do you feel, or how do you define chiropractic, and what do you feel like our objective is, and how does that differentiate from, I don't know, what people are doing now and the way that the associations are pushing chiropractic? And maybe you start the ball rolling with what your thoughts are on the chiropractic objective, and I'm sure I'll interrupt at some point.
Well, it's very simple. There's a definition that's already been set down. There's no need to argue that. People like Rob Sinnott, Dave Koch, guys like that are perfect at recognising the fact that that definition, whilst it was set down back in 1927, it can be modernised, but it means it doesn't need to be updated. So, you know, languages change, all that sort of stuff, rah, 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 but it can still be applicable. So the definition is there. Chiropractic is a philosophy, science and art of things natural, a system of adjusting the segment. Everybody knows that's what chiropractic is. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to start something else. It's just that it's just not chiropractic anymore. Plain and simple, Reggie used to tell a great story where he said two friends trying to explain baseball to somebody else, and someone says, well, baseball's a great game. You know, it's played on ice with a puck, and you got sticks, and you got a goalie at either end, and you got skates on your feet. And the other person said, you know, that might be a wonderful game that you're describing, ice hockey. It's just that it's not baseball. And so anything other than chiropractic, very simply, is just not chiropractic. And there's principles, there's premises that we've set down that explain what that is. And what I tried to do was just delve as much as I could into just what I should be focusing on when I'm adjusting someone, basically, and that is the analysis, detection, and adjustment of vertebral subluxation. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's our objective. That's what we're trying to do. And anything other than that, you need to start going back to those principles and the philosophy of chiropractic as to answering any other questions that people might throw your way. But it gives you the freedom to obviously sit back and not be worried about trying to go after things like people think, quite nobly so, you know, going after the cause of vertebral subluxation. Well, people can get hung up on that, thinking that, oh, you know, we want to try and really help them with their nutrition and their rehab and their exercise or their posture and things like that, so that they try and avoid being subluxated. But suddenly you've become a jack of all trades and master of none, because you're going to have to go around and pick up all the banana skins off the sidewalk so that no one slips over. You're going to have to become a marriage counsellor too, and suddenly you're just getting off track. The cause of a subluxation is when an external invasive force overcomes the internal resistive force of the body. It's as simple as that. And to try and limit that, unfortunately, is going to be quite a taxing thing for anybody to do, and it just takes you away from what you can do best, hit the reset button and give the body an opportunity to learn from that. So yeah, that was the crux of my paper, understanding what I should be doing and the reasons why, because very simply, if we can get a whole lot more people practicing chiropractic, well, then that's only going to logically make it stronger, as a result. Yeah.
What do you say to your clients as far as clients, your practice members, your people that you look after? I don't like any term real well, but like, as far as they've come from another chiro, they might have a bit of a distorted view, or they don't understand chiropractic and they're coming for headaches. Like, how do you find that?
Isn't that hard?
Sometimes it's the worst part, you know, but how do you find that conversation goes? Do they sort of just look at you and go, you aren't going to fix my things? Like, you're not going to fix my symptoms? Like, how do you tackle that? Coming from that point of view.
There's a few questions in there. I mean, some people come in and they're like, holy smokes, this is what I've been looking for. I had a young fella call up only on the weekend, and he's just moved up from Sydney. He's talking to one of the girls on the front desk, and he said, oh man, you know, I've been adjusted before. I just, you know, I want to come in and get adjusted. You know, I don't have to sit through all that other sort of stuff. I want to get in, get adjusted and get out. And you know, everyone sort of had those sorts of people. They've been adjusted before, but you sort of ask them when were they last adjusted last, and you know, it's a couple of months, and you always multiply that by at least another couple because time always flies with people. But anyway, we just, you know, said the words that we needed to show them that we were going to be able to help them that day. But definitely don't let the inmates run the asylum, like Sig used to say, and just sort of offer them and tell them, well, this is what we do here. We obviously want to make sure we get it right the first time, not the second time with you, because everybody knows how fragile and specific and important your body is. And it's obviously the reason why we have the results that we do is because we look after things like that. And he was obviously so impressed with what we did. We ended up staying back late because he went home, grabbed his wife and brought her back, and she'd been under care before. But we just obviously told him what chiropractic was, or as best as we possibly could. And he was so impressed that, you know, he hasn't even been adjusted yet. It was literally his body was subluxated the way it was, and we needed to get some x-rays. And we had the honest conversation with him and just said, you know what, we'd love to get it right the first time, not the second time. Based on some of these scans and these results that we've done here so far, we really need to get some x-rays because it's too important for us to not get it right the first time. What do you think? And he said, you know, great, man, you know, I'll go get those x-rays. That sounds fantastic. That's great. So from already thinking what he wanted over the phone, logically, when you offer people what we've got, that's where I come back to. I can't understand how 8 or 9 out of 10 people in a room wouldn't then just go, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize that's what it was. That makes a lot of sense to me. And can you stay back later, please? Because I'd love to grab my wife and bring her down, because this sort of chiropractic that you're talking about, that just makes sense. So sometimes, man, you're right. You get somebody who's been there and, I should be keeping up with my yearly maintenance adjustments. And you sort of think, wow, that's quite a large number that's to be maintaining. Yeah, and maintenance itself sounds pretty horrible. We'd love to improve. But you get those sometimes, and I think the only way to overcome that is to be completely honest with people, because that's all they would like. They would like you to be honest.
Yeah, do you find that many people will just go, you know what, that just sounds too far outside of their norm?
I think you've got to be not smart, because the beauty about us learning and going to things like Brad Glowacki talks, you know, just learning things like Art of the Close, all that sort of stuff, there's no malice or anything behind it, because you are simply wanting to try and understand how people think so that you can better offer them what we know is a beneficial thing. It's not snake oil, it's not anything like that, it's just this beautiful thing, and we want to better understand how we can meet people where they're at and offer them what we've got. And I think sometimes you need to be able to read people, and that's what some of those seminars really help you do and have a place in teaching us. Because sometimes some people come in and just say, you know, if you offer them all this great, wonderful things and start spouting about 33 principles and all that sort of stuff that's way down the rabbit hole for some people, the natural reaction is for them to reject. You know, if you get thrown something new, the natural rejection is for you, if it's something that frightens you, or if it's something that's new and it's something that bucks the trend, it's natural for you to try and obviously step back and retreat to your safe place, which is, you know, going to that chiropractor who threw the sander on them for 20 minutes and then stuck a couple of needles in them. And that's just what they know. And the devil you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't. So it's natural for them to retreat. So it's very important, like you said, to learn the words you need to get somebody on the table, and then powers greater than yourself will take over and do what needs to be done. We make sure everybody comes. I say this, we have a workshop every Monday night for generally designed for people that are new to chiropractic. But that we find that the people that get the best results are there. So even for people that have been to a chiropractor before, if I can teach them something that just 1% helps them get better results faster, well, that's where we offer it to everybody. And I think at least 9 out of 10 people get through that. And statistics wise, it's at the end of it, they go, you know, wow, I never knew it was like that. And then it just gives you the opportunity, obviously, to say, well, you know, this is why we're going to be doing what we're doing. And then it just gives them that tools to understand that.
Yep, absolutely. So let's look a little more internally as far as chiropractic goes. Do you find, obviously, your ability to communicate with your clients, you know, in your clinic makes it easy for you to have whatever conversation you like. How do you find the rest of the population or the rest of the chiropractic profession go as far as trying to understand that, you know, locate, analyze, correct subluxation conversation? And how do you find, like, even your friends that went through uni with that might have a different bend, and, you know, it's probably stick a little bit more to the chiropractic education that they got as far as, you know, the treatment of conditions and stuff like that? Like, what sort of conversations do you have with them?
Oh, well, that's really hard, man. And that's I don't think there is a right answer for that sort of stuff, because at the end of the day, people who are perhaps aren't practicing chiropractic as well as they could do for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that I know it all yet, but for whatever reason, let's say that somebody's not practicing as well as they could do, they generally aren't bad people. They still think they're helping. They just perhaps haven't been shown what is possible. So it's very hard to say that to people, I think. But and it's even harder still, you know, there's the old quote, you can't make new wine in old barrels, because there's just that taint of the old wine. And so, you know, you've got to be able to, when you're trying to learn chiropractic, DD said it, you know, there was, I'm sure it was, some of the medical doctors, the osteopaths, and the ones that he took on when he was first teaching them, you know, you need to rinse out that head of yours, scrape it out, clean it out, rub it out. And when it's absolutely spotless dry, smash it and start again to try and learn chiropractic, because it's just such a different thing. The philosophy is completely different to any other aspect of how most of the society is living. Yep. So it's really hard to, I suppose, to offer that to people, because I think we're seen as the crazy ones, the people that are practicing chiropractic properly. And that's very hard for a lot of people, because whilst it's true it's only the crazy ones that change the world, for a lot of people there's that safety in numbers, and they just don't have that that understanding or that ability to back themselves to leap and to jump in and to jump over to where the grass is greener.
As an association, as a, like, I'm not even sure whether you remember, it's neither here nor there from my point of view, but obviously the ACA represents a fairly large number of chiropractors, and obviously their direction's a bit different.
Sure does. I haven't been a member for a couple of years, which makes me really sad. It was something that I really battled with, and I still don't know if it's the right answer, because I'm sure that you can discuss either way. And unfortunately, like some people say, they're the only ones that have got a seat at the table. It's hard because at the end of the day, I just didn't feel that they were representing chiropractic as well as could have been done, or representing it like it should have been done. And so I made that decision personally to jump out. And that's not to say that they haven't tried or other people haven't. It's just that I felt that. And I will, unfortunately, my focus, because if you're not part of the solution, generally you can wind up being part of the problem. I will definitely have it on my list. It's on my list of things to do, that if somebody in the next couple of years, when my practice is perhaps self-sufficient and I can maybe enjoy that the procedures just allow things to be done easier, and I can step back, well then, man, if no one's created a new profession, then I'm going to have to do that too. And I've got that on my list of things to do. If nobody's doing that, it needs to be done, because chiropractic's definitely not being represented or explained as well as I think it can be. That's, again, not to say that I know it all, but that was one of the reasons that, unfortunately, I'm not a member of ACA or whatever the old COCA one is, Chiropractic Australia, whatever that is. Yeah, exactly. that's my opinion on that.
It's like I always find it an interesting point of discussion for people, especially ones that think philosophically about what they do and why they do it. And I'm still a member, but I posted on Facebook recently about the renewal of registrations and the fact that I struggle with it all the time, but I still feel like for me it takes away my voice to be even able to impact the direction of the ACIA if I'm not a member, and to be honest, that's the only reason as to why I'm still there. And coming up towards elections in the next sort of couple of months, not that I'm going to stick my hand up because I've sort of been there and done that for a number of years, and I've just got to focus a little bit on me for a while. If I can have an ability to impact those that may represent chiropractic, then that's what I'll do. But like, just being able to define chiropractic, like it's, you know, define chiropractic within an organization that is full of chiropractors, it seems like pulling teeth. Like, I just don't even understand how they can't, they're so worried about trying to fill everything into what they do and who they are and trying to appease the masses, that, as you said at the start, they end up falling for nothing because they've got no backbone. They've got nothing that they can anchor to. And that's the most disappointing part I see with the associations.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah. So, the reason why I wanted to chat with you specifically is because, you know, you did define your paper really well. And every time you've presented or every time I've spoken to you, it's just about, well, that's just not what I do. Well, that's just not what we do. This is what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And if we can stay within our lane, I feel like we'd probably be much better off as a profession, because we wouldn't have to be trying to appease the masses, and we wouldn't have to be trying to worry about what validation exists in someone else's frame in a deductive mindset that's never relevant with chiropractic anyway. So
no, that's right. And it's not always going to be for everybody. Because for whatever reason, it's not going to – I'm sure that there's going to be 1 in 10 that for whatever reason pokes a hole with it that I don't understand logically or from a scientific point of view. But as long as you are out there standing for what you do, well, then the 9 out of 10 people that love you and appreciate you for what you do. And, man, I remember Phil telling me this story once. It's kind of hard. If you ever want to know how important you are sometimes – give up practice, because you would be amazed at the people that love you and rely on you, and not you, which makes you feel good for your ego, but chiropractic and the way that you deliver it. The people that rely on that, that come clambering back and say, please let us know where you're going, or you've got to be back, or, you know, man, I've been in and adjusted people on, I adjust people on public holidays, I adjust people on Anzac Day, Christmas, doesn't matter, you know, it's such an easy thing. People just, like, are unbelievably thankful for you. And, you know, when Zoe, my little girl, was born, you know, just people just giving you presents, and it's people you've just looked after, but you just, the impact that you have and that chiropractic has on people is just so beautiful and unbelievable. And it's hard sometimes that stepping back, and then when I took that 6 months off, when I finished up at the last place where I was working, the things that people say about you is amazing. It's almost kind of like you're at your own, hearing your own obituary, you know. It was just, you were there and people were just saying all these wonderful things that chiropractic just allowed me to obviously help them with, and it's a beautiful thing. And if we can just tell the people that that's what we offer, then they love it. It's only logical, and I can't understand how a profession doesn't see that as just a simple way to do things. But anyway, a lot of people get into politics to change the world and find out that it changes them. So that's something that I'm sure I'll uncover in a couple of years, when if it hasn't been done, well then I'm gonna have to do it too. And I'll be happy to do that, because it's important, I think.
Yeah,
it is. But we'll do that then.
Yeah. We'll cross that bridge.
Yeah,
we've got a few other bridges to worry about first. So
yeah, maybe that's right.
What we've got the last couple of minutes, mate. What advice or what feedback would you give? What's your last sort of parting thoughts on on where you're at, what you're doing.
You can't
open a can of worms like that at the end.
Yeah, geez. Okay, wow. What was it, man? BJ, what was it? He said, if you'd like a story from me or a book, give me a couple of weeks. If you'd like a chapter, give me a couple of months. And if you'd like a sentence, give me a year. Holy smokes. You can't just throw that at me at the end there. But, man, I just fall in love with the principle. It's just such a beautiful thing. And I've got a couple of quotes that I really love to live by. Quotes are great for me because I think that it's natural for people to dry off and to forget the ideas. And quotes are generally perfectly sum up a greater point, you know, the big idea. So I've got a couple of quotes. One of them is, do what you love in the service of people who love what you do. And that hangs right above my two adjusting tables that everybody reads as soon as they come in and that I stare at all day, every day. And I think this world would be a lot better place if people were loving what they were doing in the service of people who love what they do. And chiropractic is this beautiful thing that, man, you talk to some of the chiropractors and some of the things that they've seen people change and that it's impacted their lives. This is a beautiful thing that we need to protect, guard it well, etc. And we need to make sure. But it's unbelievably rewarding when you practice chiropractic well, and the life it gives you in return is, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard, but it's right. And the fact that it's right helps you sleep well at night, and you go to bed with a big smile on your face doing it. And I think that counts for something.
Absolutely. Tim, mate, thank you for paving the way. Like, I know that you're young in your professional years, as far as, like, I look at you guys and I'm like, oh, shit, you know, what have I done with my last 15 years or 16 years of practice? I feel like I'm, like, freaking behind the eight ball already. But, you know, like, it's nice to have youthful people speak about chiropractic with such passion. And, you know, like, some of the guys that we did the ACP with, like, that was just, it was evident with the guys that you surrounded yourself with through that program as well, that, you know, they were all switched on, all passionate about what they did. You know, some of them had been out for a couple of years longer than you. And, but, you know, I think
it's lifelong friendships, man. Lifelong friendships and support. It's your wolf pack. It's everything. I'm sitting here right now. I've got one of Paul Finn's shirts on, his old Sims and Finn's shirt. You know, it's just
don't pump him up. It was his birthday yesterday too.
I know it was his birthday.
He's probably turned 86. Birthday. Wow.
Yeah, and an old Justin fella. As well as he was the first day. Yeah. You know, it's an unbelievable thing to fall in love with like-minded people, because it's just that support, and that's definitely what that ACP helps create. And it's a real darn shame that it wasn't up and running last year. And yeah, I think that every graduate and every graduate definitely of Macquarie University should be doing it, because it's been instrumental in getting me to where I am. Yep. And if that's something that people look at, well, then that would definitely be a recommendation of mine. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, love you heaps, because I love the fact that you love what I love. So
exactly.
I'm going to say goodbye, and I wish you all the best with Genius Chiropractic. I look forward to staying up to date. People can find you on Facebook at Genius Chiropractic, can't they? I'm sure that's where I've seen you.
Website, Instagram, Facebook, the whole lot, you know, everything that needs to be. Yeah. We're there.
So search Genius Chiropractic. Like his stuff, because he does post some thought-provoking posts on occasions, and you know, sometimes it's frustrating because I have to then, you know, double check and think about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it again. So that sort of takes a few hours of my afternoon off being able to do what I do. But
well, thank you, I think.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a positive. But yeah, look, thanks heaps, mate. And thanks for giving up your time to come and have a chat with me today. Aren't you holding me up? Now I'm strong enough for both of us.